And I want to preach to you this morning about He is the door, the shepherd, and the lamb. We could probably talk about this chapter for many messages in a long time, but we're just going to bring things into one message and one thought. So we'll be here for 4 hours, but no, just kidding. We'll be here for a little bit. And I want to talk to you about Jesus, how He is the door, and He is the shepherd, and He is the lamb. He's the door, He's the shepherd, and He's the lamb. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You so much for Your word. I thank You for sending Your Son into this world, a sinful world, an unclean world. And He was perfect and sinless, but yet He came to die on that cross for me. He came to die for sinners. And it's so true, the song I sang, He gave His life for mine. Jesus deserved no punishment. He had done no crimes, but He died on the cross for my sins. He came to pay the penalty for my sins, for each one of ours. And Father, I thank You for sending Your Son and His willingness to lay down His life on that cross to give His life for mine so that I could be saved, so I could stand here today forgiven, so I could sing songs like at Calvary and remember what Christ did for me at Calvary and what I have now because of Him. I'm thankful. Lord, please speak to our hearts, encourage and help every one of us. And Lord, also, if someone doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, convict them of their need of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John chapter 10 here, we're going to begin with some simple statements in the message and try to build on those to help us to see Jesus as the door, the shepherd, and the lamb. Number one this morning, Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. And that's the analogy that the Bible uses. Look at John chapter 10, and we're going to read there verses 1 and 2. John chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2 teaches us Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. The Bible says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The sheepfold represents the nation of Israel. Jesus told them He came in by the door. He came in legally. He was who He claimed to be. And throughout the Gospel of John, this was always an issue. The Jews were always wondering, you know, this guy's making claims to be the Son of God. And they didn't like those claims that He was making. Can I tell you something? Jesus was and Jesus is who He said that He was. And so He came in by the door. He came in legally. He was who He claimed to be. Jesus came in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah. We're going to look at a few verses just to prove this point. Galatians chapter 4. If you want to keep something marking John chapter 10, I'm sure we'll come back there. But look at Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 4 and verse number 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. I said He came in legally. He was who He claimed to be. He came in under the law. Under the law. Galatians chapter 4 and look at verse number 4. The Bible says there, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." He came in under the law. He came from the line of David. He came fulfilling prophecy. He had a right to say, you know, this is who I am. This is who I claim to be. It was all true. He came in fulfillment of prophecy. He was born in Bethlehem, fulfilling prophecy. Back in the Old Testament, the book of Micah, chapter number 5 and verse number 2. See if you can find that. That'll be a tough one, won't it? Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Just a small little sliver in the Bible. Just one of the Old Testament prophets. Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. If you're not there yet, just listen closely. The Bible says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." What a prophetic verse to talk about how just in a little place, just in what would be an insignificant place, in Bethlehem, from Bethlehem, would be born the Messiah, the Savior, the one who always has been, the one who is from everlasting. Jesus Christ would come And in fulfillment of prophecy, where would he be born? Bethlehem. Just like the word of God had predicted years before. He was born fulfilling prophecy. He was born of a virgin, also fulfilling prophecy. I mean, this was an incredible thing. This was a miraculous birth. And why was that? Well, it's because it was the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. If he would have been born of man and woman, then he would have been just like any other child. But the miracle is, as the New Testament says in Matthew and so on, that he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, conceived of the Holy Spirit of God. And so he was born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 14 tells us this. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This was to be a sign. This was to try to help them to see that, hey, the Messiah is here. The Messiah has come. The Messiah is being born. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he came fulfilling prophecy. Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he came in through the door. In other words, he was not just some imposter. No one else could have the credentials that he did. You know, when he's speaking to them, and in his ministry, those 3 years of ministry before he would go to the cross, as he preached, as he spoke, as he went into the synagogues, as he talked with the Jews and so on, he had the credentials to back it up. He was born in Bethlehem. He was born of a virgin. He did fulfill the prophecies of the Jewish prophets. Anyone else would have been an imposter. Anyone else would have been a thief. Anyone else would have been a robber. But he truly was the Messiah. The religious rulers of the Jews were constantly challenging his claims. And he tries to make it clear to them that he was legitimate. He was truly the shepherd of the sheep. Look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and notice verse number 3. John 10 and verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Notice, let's go back to verse 2 so we get it in context together. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. First he said, I am the door, but he's also making a statement that the one that's entering the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Now the porter represents the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God came upon Jesus, and everything that Jesus did, he did by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It was the Holy Spirit that would open the ears of the sheep spiritually, open the ears of people to help them to see who Jesus was, to help them and cause them to believe on him. Everything he did was by the Spirit. Those that hear his voice would respond. Remember in John chapter 9 that those who are spiritually blind, we talked about last week, they don't see the truth. Some are blind. Some are deaf, if you will. But the Spirit of God is trying to work to open up the hearing, to open up the blinded eyes, to help them to see that it's he. It's the Messiah. It's the Savior of the world. That work takes place by the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God that convicts and opens the blinded eyes and causes the deaf to hear the shepherd when he calls them. When Jesus called Simon Peter, he heard the voice of the shepherd calling, and what did he do? He followed Jesus. He followed Jesus. When each of the disciples heard Jesus call, what did they do? They followed him. When Jesus stopped under a sycamore tree in Jericho and he called Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus heard the voice of the shepherd calling him. And what did he do? He followed Jesus. The shepherd, or Jesus, was leading his sheep out of Judaism in order to follow him. Look at John chapter 10 and verse number 4. John 10 and verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. When Jesus calls his sheep out of Judaism, or when Jesus calls his sheep, frankly, out of any religion, he goes before them as a shepherd leading them, and they follow him. There could be many shepherds in the hills of Israel, many, many sheep. How is it that they know the difference? You know, there would be many shepherds and many, many sheep. And many times they would even start to, you know, intermingle the sheep out in certain fields. How are they going to know? Sometimes at night they would come back to a place where they would be kept in the sheepfold. How would they know, you know, which shepherd to follow or who they belonged to? Well, they would hear the voice. That voice was very distinct, the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow their own shepherd. Sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And when they hear that voice, they follow. When we give out the word of God, Jesus is calling his sheep to follow him. And it's the Holy Spirit of God who's convicting, who's trying to work to open up the ears of those who may sit in darkness, or those who may be trapped in a legal system or be part of a false religion. Or maybe it's just that they're enslaved by the chains and so on of their own sin. And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is calling them. Jesus is calling. His voice is calling out to bring them to him. It's the Spirit of God that will help to convict and help them to hear that voice. Jesus, we said, statement number one is this. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Quickly, statement number two. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Look at John chapter 10, verse 7 to 8. And listen carefully. I hope you're not, it may be a little bit warm, but listen carefully. Some of these verses are maybe more kind of technical, and they don't, you gotta listen and really think about these verses and these thoughts to understand them. John chapter 10, look at verses 7 and 8. John 10, verse 7 and 8. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I said statement number two, Jesus is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door of the sheep. Okay, statement number one, go back to statement number one, was this. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Okay, he's the door into the sheepfold. Can you help me? Can you say it with me? Can you respond with me? Number one, Jesus is the door into the what? Sheepfold, the pens, the gathering places and so on. Number two, Jesus is the door of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. Here he gives another allegory. He makes it clear that he himself is the door of the sheep. If you want to come out of a religion and into a personal relationship with God, you know, the only way you're going to do it is through the door, and that is Jesus Christ. He literally is the door. He is the only way to come out of religion and into Christ, out of religion and into a personal relationship with God. It's got to be through Jesus Christ. It's got to be through Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus tells us in John 14, 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, right? He doesn't say, you know, except ye have this religion, or except ye keep this sacrament, or except you do these things. No, there's one way, and that way is Jesus Christ. No man can come unto the Father but by him. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only way. Look at John chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. John 10 verses 9 and 10. Okay, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be what? Saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Who's the thief? I like to think of Satan as being the thief. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have what? Life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus is the way out of religious ritual and traditions of men. Jesus is the way out of false religion. And he is the way into a real and personal relationship with God. That is what people need. Listen, religion cannot satisfy. Religion cannot meet the needs of the soul. People need a personal relationship with God. They need to know him. We need to be in Christ Jesus. And we need Christ Jesus in us. He is the only door. He is the door of the sheep. Jesus is the door of salvation. Jesus is the door to eternal life. And also, we see in that verse, Jesus is the door to abundant life. Boy, you want eternal life? You want abundant life? How does it come? It comes through Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus Christ. He's the door of the sheep. We said, number one, Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. Number two, Jesus is the door of the sheep. Number three, Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. You think, this is complicated. Yeah, a little bit. Because Jesus makes all these different allegories. He's the door into the sheepfold. He is the actual door. We also learned that he's the shepherd of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. How is it possible that Jesus can be both the door and the shepherd? Both the door and the shepherd. The sheepfolds, many times back in the day of when the scriptures were written, did not actually have a swinging gate that would open and close like a lot of farmers might have today. They would maybe build up a sheepfold and maybe have gathered with stones around or something to try to, that would keep the sheep in there and try to keep the sheep safe at night. But then there was one doorway, one opening, and that opening wouldn't have a gate on it. What would happen is that the shepherd, one of the shepherds at nighttime, would lay in that opening. That shepherd would lay in that doorway to be the one there to protect the sheep. So the sheepfold would be an area, again, fenced in to protect the sheep at nighttime. And a shepherd would lay right across the doorway, lay right across the gateway or the opening and sleep there in order to protect the sheep. So really, the shepherd also was the doorway. He, both the shepherd, but also the doorway. Listen, Jesus is both the door and the good shepherd. He is the door which opens to eternal life. He is the good shepherd that cares for and protects the sheep. Think about this for a moment. Not only is Jesus, he's the door, right? He's the door into the sheepfold. He is the door of the sheep. He is the good shepherd. But I want you to notice something else. He is also the Lamb of God that died to save us from our sins. He's the door. He's the shepherd. But wait a minute, the Bible also calls him the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and John the Baptist was kind of a forerunner to try to help teach people, hey, the Messiah is coming, you better repent, you better get right. You know, hey, the Messiah is coming, the Savior's coming. Notice what it says in John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Those people that started following John the Baptist and listening to him and so on, he pointed them and said, look, there he is. That's the one. That's the one who you're going to follow. That's the one who you need to believe in. That's the Lamb of God that can take away your sins. I say statement number four, that Jesus is the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb. It may sound like mixed metaphors, but it is really one of the most wonderful things in the Bible. How could the good shepherd also be the Lamb? Well, it's because the good shepherd, the Bible says, he laid down his life. He loved the sheep so much. He loves us so much that he laid down his life. He gave his life. He willingly died on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. Notice what the Bible says there. John chapter 10, look at it again. And look at verse number 11. John chapter 10 and verse number 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Giveth his life. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. The fact that Jesus is the good shepherd emphasizes the deity of Christ. He alone was worthy. He alone was able to save. Our good shepherd, though, loved the sheep so much that he took on humanity. He came down to earth and took upon himself the form of a man. And the good shepherd became the Lamb of God. He became that pure and that perfect and that sinless sacrifice that would be offered up alone. in order to pay for our sins, in order that we could be forgiven of our sins. He came to be the Lamb of God. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life like nobody else could. Like nobody could. And he became our sacrifice. The good shepherd, the one who can lead us beside the still waters, the one who can restore our soul, the one who can feed us and care for us, and the one who loves us. What did he do? He became a lamb. He became a sacrifice. He died on the cross for you and for me to satisfy the justice and holiness of God. The shepherd became a lamb, a sacrifice on the cross, dying and shedding his blood to pay the penalty, to pay the price for our sins. Oh, how amazing that the shepherd loved us so very, very much. Look at some verses here with me in John chapter 10. We'll start again in verse 11. Look at it together. I am the good shepherd. Thank you. Help me now. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he, let's go down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I what? Lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of the Father. In verse number 16 there, we learn that Jesus has other sheep that were not part of the sheepfold of Judaism. Obviously, he was dealing with a lot of Jews at this point, but the Bible makes it clear he has other sheep that are not part of this sheepfold. I'm thankful that he's my shepherd too. I'm thankful that he loves me too. Listen, Jesus is the door for both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus is the door for all those who will believe on him. Jesus is the good shepherd for both Jews and Gentiles. Jesus became the Lamb of God and he died for all sinners. No matter what our religious background, no matter what our race, no matter what our skin color, no matter what language we speak, the good shepherd laid down his life for all men. He laid down his life for all sinners. You know, in heaven, there's only going to be one flock, and it'll be made up of all believers, all who believed on Christ, and one shepherd who we will praise and who we will thank for dying for us. One shepherd, one fold, the one Lamb of God that died for us, one door, one, only one way, one that we must believe in. What a day it'll be. The good shepherd certainly does love his sheep. He loved us so much that he was willing to become a lamb and to die a bloody, awful death. And listen to this, even to be forsaken by his Father in heaven, to suffer hell for us, to take all of our sins upon himself. Can you imagine it when Jesus is on the cross? And God in heaven turns his head away because he can't bear to look at all the sins of mankind, all the sins of the world that were placed on Jesus Christ. God's Son didn't deserve to die, but all of our sins were placed upon him. And he was dying there for our sins. And can you imagine the Father in heaven looking down and seeing all the crimes and all the wickedness and all the dirtiness, all the sins of every person that's ever lived being placed on Christ? It's no wonder Jesus would cry out, right? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The good shepherd, loving the sheep to that extent, that he'd be willing to leave heaven and come down to earth and live amongst sinners. That though he was perfect and sinless, he'd be willing to just not say anything and go to the cross, die on the cross for our sins. The good shepherd sure does love his sheep. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep, and we notice in those verses as well, he did so willingly. Right? Remember what it said there? No man taketh it from me. I lay it down to myself. It wasn't the Jews who put Jesus to death. It wasn't the Romans who put Jesus to death. You know who it was who put Jesus to death? It was our sins, but you know what? He laid down his life. He gave his life. Nobody took it. Nobody forced it. He was not forced to the cross. There's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But listen, he went to that cross and he gave his life for you and for me. He gave himself. He was in full control at his trial. He was in full control at the time of his death. He was in full control at the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in control all the time. He could have stopped it at any time, but he did not, because he was giving his life for our sins. The Good Shepherd loves his sheep. The Good Shepherd gave his life for his sheep. I want to ask you some simple questions. Why don't we love him like we should? Why don't we love him like we should? Do you ever feel like at times that, boy, my love for him is so small or so weak in comparison to how much he loves me? Do you ever get disappointed in your own self to think, boy, I sure don't love him like I should? Why would I do some of the things I do? Why would I neglect him someday? You know, why didn't I take time to pray this morning? Why didn't I read my Bible all week? Why is it sometimes that our love for him just seems so puny and weak and small in comparison to his love for us? Why don't we love him like we should? Let me ask you another question. Why don't we give like we should? Why don't we give like we should? You know, when we think about Jesus, when we think about the shepherd and how he gave his life, he willingly gave his life to die on the cross for us. He willingly, sacrificially gave his life for us. When it comes to us, you ever think, why don't I give like I should? Why don't I give with a willing heart? Or why don't I give sacrificially? Why in the world would we hold anything back? Why don't we give willingly like he willingly gave his life for us? Why won't we give sacrificially like he gave his everything for us? Is it ever too much for Christ to expect that we would live for him when we think that he died for us? Why do we sometimes just maybe become selfish or self-focused and not want to give? Why don't we love him like we should? Why don't we give like we should? Here's a third question, just to think about. Why don't we follow him like we should? Why don't we follow him like we should? In John chapter 10, there in verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The sheep ought to be following the shepherd. Don't you think that makes sense, right? Shouldn't the sheep be following the good shepherd? Shouldn't the sheep be following the shepherd? The one who leads us beside the still waters? The one who takes us to green pastures? The one who helps to feed us? The one who cares for us? The one who loves us? The one who's there lying in the doorway at night to protect us? The one who gave his life for us? Why don't we follow him like we should? My sheep hear my voice. If we're his sheep, that means we're hearing his voice. He says, and I know them, and they follow me. So if we're his sheep, we ought to be hearing his voice. You ought to hear him when he speaks to your heart. You ought to speak to you when you read his word. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why don't we follow him like we should? Could it be that we're not really saved? Or maybe could it be that we're unthankful for what he's done for us? Or could it be that we're selfish or self-centered or only love ourselves? Why don't we love him like we should? Why don't we give like we should? Why don't we follow him like we should? The Bible said his sheep hear his voice and follow him. Can I ask you, are you his? Do you belong to Christ and does he belong to you? Do you belong to Christ and does he belong to you? Are you listening to his voice? Are you obeying his voice? Are you obeying his word? Are you following Christ? We're going to finish right here, but let me share with you just a couple promises that he gives to his sheep. Some promises that he makes to his sheep. Number one is this, that he knows us. Isn't it good that he knows us? The shepherd knows who are his. The shepherd knows his sheep. Yeah, how could God think? How could God keep track of all that? I mean, there's probably 7 billion people in the world, and there's people everywhere. You mean to tell me that if I'm his sheep, he knows me? Yes, he does. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly the place that you live in. He knows exactly what you're going through in your life. He knows every trial, every burden of your heart, every heartache, everything. If you're his sheep, he knows you. He knows us. He knows us. John 10:27. I know them. That means he understands us. That means he sees us. That means he knows all my thoughts. That means he knows what's in my heart. That means he knows all my trial. Hey, he knows us. He knows us. And secondly, he keeps us. This is a wonderful truth. He keeps us. He is the one that keeps us saved. He is the one that keeps us saved. In John chapter 10, in the next verse, he said in verse 27, I know them. That's awesome. Verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You know, that means that there's nothing that anybody can do to take me out of his hand. He's given me eternal life, and he promises I shall never perish. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior in 1981, and I have always been his sheep. Have I always done what I should? Have I been a perfect sheep? No. But I've always been his sheep. He has kept me. He keeps us. He keeps us. Even, listen, he gives us eternal life. He gives us eternal life, and it's forever. He doesn't take it away. No one can take us out of his hand or out of the Father's hand. Even if we step out of God's will, even if we wander off and we get lost, or we backslide, if you will, or we go into sin, the shepherd loves us and the shepherd cares for us. Christ never loses any of his sheep. He doesn't. Hey, if there's 99 in the fold and one's lost, what does he do? He goes and seek until he finds it. That one that's gone astray, you know, in that story, Luke chapter 15, I think it is, it's sharing that story, and then it goes on and shares the story of the prodigal son. Listen, that son is still a son, even if he's a prodigal, right? The parable before it is the parable of the lost sheep. 99 in the fold, but one that's lost, what does the shepherd do? He goes and looks for it. So even if you're away from God, even if you're not living for God like you should, even if you're backslidden, or you're not living right, and there's things in your heart and things in your life that are not right, you are still his sheep. He is still keeping you saved. You are on your way to heaven if you trusted Jesus Christ. I am glad that when we are his sheep, he knows us and that he keeps us. You may have made some bad choices. You may be stepping out of God's will, but you are still his sheep, and he still cares for you. He never loses any of his sheep. We cannot get away from him even if we wanted to. He knows us, and he keeps us. He knows us, and he keeps us. What is Jesus? If we break it down into those three statements, he's the door, he's the good shepherd, but he's also the Lamb. He loves us. He cares for us. He gave his life for us. Why don't we love him like we should? Why don't we give like we should? Why don't we follow him like we should? I hope that those three questions will stay in our hearts and challenge us and convict us. Because how can we think about all that the Good Shepherd has done for us, the Lamb of God dying for us, and then not love him? not give unto him or give our life unto him and not follow him. God, help us to follow him, to listen to his voice, hear his voice, obey his voice, do what he wants us to do.